stones of remembrance. The Bible says in Job chapter 37, verse 14, "Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." Notice that phrase, "stand still," which is the theme of our message series for this month. The title of today's message, "Stones of Remembrance." In other words, generations to come will remember this era in the history of Circle Drive. As we seek God's will in regard to the future and future ministry and the implications of that. Our story today is taken from Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to go verse by verse, 1 through 17. As we think of this subject, stones of remembrance, and that our very lives and the ministry of this church would be stones of remembrance. As you recall in God's Word, the Bible says that God set His people free from Egypt. They were free from slavery. And God's Word tells us that they had the opportunity, the option, as we looked last week, to enter into God's promised land. 12 spies were sent out. They were gone 40 days. They came back with a report. 10 were filled with fear and said, "We can't do it." 2 came back and said, were filled with faith and said, "We can do it." 12 came back filled, 10 came back filled with fear and said, "There are too many obstacles." 2 came back filled with faith and said, "Our God is greater than any obstacle." But the majority won. And for 40 years, the Bible says that the people of God wandered in the wilderness. And as the Bible predicted that those who were 20 years and older would die in the wilderness, certainly that all came to pass. But now they've been wandering for 40 years, and Moses, their leader, had just passed away. And now Joshua was the leader. After 40 years, the Israelites were on the verge of entering the promised land. Joshua this time sent 2 spies to spy out the land. He was a smart leader. And when they returned, their report was dramatically different than the report of the 12 spies that had been sent out 40 years previously. These 2 spies came back and they gave the thumbs up. As a matter of fact, in Joshua chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says that they reported, "Truly the Lord has delivered all of the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us." Stones of remembrance. Point number 1, anticipation. Let's look at verse 1 specifically. "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the Bible says they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over." What I love about Joshua's leadership is the fact that as soon as the spies came back and gave the report, he said, "Let's go for it." He and the Israelites had learned a painful lesson of disobedience and the implications thereof. Family members and friends had died in those 40 years. They had wandered in the wilderness because of disobeying God. But in those years of wandering in the wilderness, they all thought about this day. They all anticipated this day. And now as they were on the verge of entering the promised land, their adrenaline was sky high. Their heart rate was beating rapidly. Their blood pressure was up. To use a modern phrase, they were pumped. The children were hyper. It's called anticipation. Have you ever had that experience of anticipation? The wait before something really big happens? I know that you and I can think of that anticipation when we think back, those of us who've had children. Getting the news from the doctor and the excitement and the expectancy of a new one on the way. You start shopping for the baby. The wife goes to the doctor for the regular visits. You begin preparing the room for that new one that's to come. And then the excitement that builds and the anticipation that builds as that moment is soon to arrive. How much I remember that time when our oldest daughter was born, the firstborn. That anticipation, that excitement. And I will never forget the night that my daughter was born, the next morning, because that night, my Kentucky Wildcats were playing the LSU, Louisiana State Bayou Bengals in basketball. And I thought, certainly she won't go into labor now. Oh, but she did. She went into labor right in the midst of that basketball game. You say, Mike, you panicked, you rushed up, you got all the clothes and the suitcase, and you ushered her out the door and got her to the hospital right away, right? Wrong. You want to know how good my wife is? What a wonderful lady she is. She waited until the end of the game before she asked me to take her to the hospital. I've got some bad news and all of that. My team lost. But Ross can't rejoice. Our student pastor is a big LSU fan. Ross, you weren't rejoicing over that victory because you were crawling around in your diapers saying goo goo gaga at that time. But the anticipation was incredible. You know, when God is about to bring about the fruition of His promise, there is excitement. I am excited because God is going to do something in the days to come that He has promised. What is it? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's God ordained. And there's excitement and anticipation. In August of last year, God provided our church with 35 acres of property appraised at $3,583,000. We paid only $1,350,000 for it, and they gifted the rest to us. That miracle means that God has a greater miracle in store for us, just as He had a greater miracle in store for the Israelites as they prepared to enter the promised land. So just like the Israelites, we are entering into an amazing era in the history of this church. And we will enter it with anticipation. Point number two. Not only anticipation, but amazement. Joshua now is the leader. Moses is in heaven. Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Sanctify yourselves literally means make yourself holy. In other words, God is about to do something incredible, something supernatural, something truly amazing. And Joshua here is saying to the people, you need to get ready spiritually for what God is about to do. In one word, it's the word consecrate. At this time, the people of God had no idea what God was about to do. But when He did, they would be incredibly amazed. God is telling us the same thing. He is going to do something God-sized. He's going to do something huge. And it's time for us to get ready spiritually. It's time to consecrate ourselves to do as Paul exhorts the Romans in 12:1, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, preparing for that amazing, truly supernatural day. It's called amazement. Before amazement comes anticipation. So you have anticipation, you have amazement, but the third thing you have is awareness. And I love these verses because God's been speaking to my heart about this very thing the last few weeks. The Bible says, then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. That is, get the priest. They'll carry the Ark of the Covenant ahead, and they will cross the Jordan. So they took the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. You talk about how their hearts were racing, how they were excited about what God was getting ready to do. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be, and here's the phrase, with you. You see, God's promise, as you and I prepare ourselves for something that only He can do, is this. God says, I will be with you. It's called the divine presence. We live by faith. We move forward by faith. But let me tell you, we are not alone. We cannot and will not pull off whatever God has for us on our own. God is going to do it. But God is going to do it through us. It is the awareness of His divine presence. God has been speaking to me and real strongly in the last few weeks about His presence. And so often we, and I myself in particular, I am aware that God is present in my life. As a matter of fact, when you and I became followers of Jesus, He came to live within us. God is present in our lives. The issue is not, is God present in my life? The issue is, am I experiencing the presence of God in my life? And as God has begun the process of dealing with my heart with that question, that realization, I've had to do an examination of my heart and my life because I know that God is present in my life, but am I truly experiencing the presence of God in my life? And that's the question I want to ask you today as a follower of Christ. It is not, is He present in your life? Because I know that He is. The question that I'm asking you and the question that God has been hammering at me for the past several weeks, Mike, are you experiencing my presence in your life? Are you experiencing me at work in your life? Are you experiencing my glory in your life? Is your life manifesting my presence? Is your life manifesting my glory? You see, that's what we're talking about. It's not just God being present in our lives, but it's the presence of God in our lives. The real cognitive recognition that God is working in my life and that I'm experiencing His divine glory. It is awareness. And we cannot anticipate and we cannot be amazed unless we are aware that whatever God has for us, we cannot do. Because if what God has for us is something that we could do, then why in this world do we need God? We'll just do it ourselves. But whatever God has in store for us, I will guarantee you that we cannot do it in our own power. But we can do it in the power of the presence of God. Anticipate, amazement, awareness. And then number four, you've got to have an action plan. God just doesn't wake up and say, oops, what are we going to do? God always has an action plan because He's sovereign. He's sovereign of all creation. You see, when God fulfills His purpose in our lives and for a church, He has previously prepared the divine blueprint to pull it off. Now, right here in these verses, 8 through 13, this is God's action plans for His people. He's laid out and mapped out the plan for His people, and here it is. This is what they're supposed to do. You shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Guess what's going to happen? So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, come here. He said, and hear the words of the Lord your God. In other words, he's summoning them to listen up. He wants them not only to hear, but to listen to what he's about to say. And here is the divine plan of action. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and all the other sites. A sight to behold. It's his plan. God has a plan for your life and my life. He has a plan for this church. It's not something that we can do. It's far beyond what we can think and imagine. And that's the reason I love that phrase, and I have it accentuated in my notes this morning. By this you know, shall know that the living God is among you. It is not a dead God. It is not a wimpish God. It is the living God. The very God that you and I know and the very God that you and I serve is the very God who is going to accomplish his purpose through his people. The Bible says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you in the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, this is what you're going to do. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, I love that, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, then the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Now, do you understand that? In other words, these 12 men are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, these 12 priests, these 12 men are going to carry the Ark of the Covenant, and as soon as their feet touch the water of River Jordan, all of a sudden it's going to divide. Now, I have a question I want to ask you. Anybody divided any water recently? I hate to tell you this, but you can't do it. But God can. What is God teaching us here? God is teaching us that he is God. And he can do anything. The Bible, there was a question was asked one time, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. So we see that there's no rocket scientist needed at this site. Just people of faith. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for a person of faith. That's what he's looking for in a church, is a people of faith. Now, the action plan called for these 12 men, representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, to carry the Ark of the Covenant across the River Jordan, and as soon as their feet touched the waters divided. Now, are you a scientist? You're saying, Mike, that's impossible. Of course it is. Of course it's impossible. With man, but not with God. You see, when you factor God into the equation, nothing is impossible. Have you ever heard of William Carey? William Carey, described as the father of modern missions, preached a sermon to a Baptist association in Northampton, Massachusetts. I wasn't there. It was May the 30th, 1792. As a few years before I was born. But he used an epigram that has become his most famous quote, and here it is. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. In too many churches in America, the quote is this: let's go to church and then out to eat afterwards. Doesn't seem much like a divine plan of action to me, as much as Carey's. Let's be a part of the divine action plan, which includes faith and obedience. Henry Blackaby has said this. He says, when I obey God, he will accomplish through me what he has purposed to do. So, determine what God's will is and just do it. Individually, as a church, follow God's divine plan. In the months ahead, God will reveal His divine plan of action to the guiding coalition and to our church. That's the reason there's so much excitement and anticipation for what God is going to do in the days to come. Point number five. I love this one. Accomplish. God reveals His plan, and by faith, the people of God accept that plan. These 12 could have said, Joshua, you're a nutcase. You need to go over to Manitou Springs where they have the fruitcake toss, and you ought to become a fruitcake toss. But no, they stepped forward. They accepted God's plan, even though they knew they couldn't do it. I don't know about you, but if I'd have been the first guy of the 12, I'd have probably been doing that before I stepped in. I'd have had faith, but I'd have had a trembling faith. Can you imagine stepping on that water and all of a sudden, whoosh, God did it. Verses 14 through 17. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, this is what's happening. It's happening. This is what happened. And the feet of the priest who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water. I love this phrase. For the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest. So it's even harder. That the waters which came down from upstream stood still. There it is. And rose in a heap very far away, the city which is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of the Israelites crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. You know what that is? That's a miracle. You know what else that tells us? If they'd obeyed God in the first place 40 years ago, all these people wouldn't have died, and they wouldn't have wandered the wilderness for 40 years. But during those years, God's plan, His will, involved pain and suffering, discouragement and death. The end result of it all was the fulfillment of His promise. Now, you and I too, we too, we'll face challenges as we move forward by faith. But as Joshua and the Israelites teach us, it is worth the sacrifice. It's called Stones of Remembrance. Henry Blackaby has said this. It's an extensive quote. I want you to hear it. He says, the world comes to know God when they see God's nature expressed through His activity. When God starts to work, He accomplishes something that only He can do. When God does that, both God's people and the world come to know Him in ways that they have never known Him before. That is why God gives God-sized assignments to His people. The reason much of the world is not being attracted to Christ and His church is that God's people lack the faith to attempt those things that only God can do. He says, if you or your church are not attempting to responding to God and attempting things that only He can accomplish, then you are not exercising faith. In other words, we're one of the 10 spies. So we have 35 acres of property paid in full with cash in the bank. It's a God-sized task. The guiding coalition, beginning yesterday with their meetings and determining God's plan of action, and then allowing God to accomplish His plan of action through us, just as He did so through the Israelites as they crossed the Jordan. But I want to tell you something else about this story in Joshua. You have to go to chapter 4, verse 9, because I like this. This ties in with our message today. Here's the word. After they had crossed, all the Israelites, here's the word. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this very day. What are they? Stones of remembrance. Stones of remembrance. The challenge to you and me today is for us to become stones of remembrance. Look to the future. Live by faith. Fulfill God's purpose for our lives and for this church. experience the miraculous. Our lives forever a remembrance. Listen, here we go. Our lives forever a remembrance of the amazing things that God has accomplished in and through our lives in this era of history of our lives and this church. But there is a word of caution. Let's don't blow this amazing opportunity like the 10 spies and the Israelites did 40 years before entering the promised land. May our lives be a stone of remembrance. May this church and the days to come, and as God fulfills His plan, as His plan is accomplished through His people, may we all become stones of remembrance to the work and to the glory of Almighty God. Let us pray.